And I'm not criticizing them. They're lost. I'm just saying that even lost people, when I was a boy growing up, had better sense than to dress and act like some of these people do. And I've never seen women dress so provocative in all my life as what you're seeing today. Little old girls running around with their bodies exposed. And then they wonder why there's so much wickedness going on as far as rape and one thing and another. And it's not hard for me to look at it and understand why. It's really not. And I don't look for society to get one bit better than what it is right now. Before we get out of here, I don't expect it to get that way. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms in chapter number 75, please. Psalm 75. I'm going to try to preach this. If it don't float, why, we'll swim out of it and go to hell. But when you find Psalm 75, let's stand together. Psalm 75 and verse number 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. Boy, I wish God would give me something. Let me preach on that. That's talking about Jesus. When I shall receive the congregation, he said, then I'll judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Now may God add His blessing to that portion of His Scripture. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege to stand tonight. Thank You for the open door that You've given me to preach, and people, Lord, that You've given that will listen. And I pray in these next few moments that You would still our hearts in the Word of God, and Lord, that You'd open up our understanding. Help us, I pray, to behold great and wondrous things from Thy law. I'd ask You, Lord, to grant the power that I need to preach, the touch of God upon my soul, and the liberty that is necessary, the wisdom, Lord, that is much needed, the help from God, for if You don't touch me and help me, there will be no preaching in this place tonight. For Thou art the anointed preacher, Your prophet tonight. I pray that the great preacher will come to empower this unworthy vessel and help me to stand in this holy place and declare the Word of God. Give me light and insight and direction through the evening, and I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, there's several verses here, really, that I could use as our text tonight, where David said in verse 5, for instance, lift not up your horn on high, and speak not with a stiff neck. And then in verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. He said, but God is the judge. And he putteth down one and setteth up another. But let's call our attention tonight really for the text verse in verse number 8. Where that David, the psalmist here, Asaph, said, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup." Because in the hand of the Lord there is a cup and the wine is red. It is full of mixture. Notice now, "And he poureth out of the same. But the dregs," he says, "thereof all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." I want to try if God will help me tonight, and I'm telling you I've got to have God's help. But I want to preach for a little while on God's cup of promotion. God's cup of promotion. He indicates here that the promotion that God gives, how he puts down one and sets up another, is found in the cup that is in his hand. And I want to try to preach for a little while on that thought of God's cup of promotion. You know, I believe that everyone, to some degree would enjoy having a measure of success in this life. If you're not interested in being somewhat successful, I'd have to come to the conclusion probably that you're a tad bit slothful in your life. And I believe that everybody desires to have some measure of success and to have some measure of promotion in this life. I believe both in our spiritual as well as in our secular labors. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for God's great cup of promotion in my spiritual life. I have not attained yet where I want to be. I want to grow in grace and grow in knowledge. I want to attain to some heights that I've never been able to reach spiritually speaking. And I hope you'll not think I'm greedy when I say this. I'm sure God knows my heart tonight. But I think that all of us, really deep down on the inside, would enjoy some type of success and promotion in our secular life. Nobody enjoys living on Skid Row. Nobody enjoys necessarily begging for food, living a life of great poverty. It's no disgrace to be poor. I was raised that way. But I don't necessarily want to remain that way all my life. Praise God, I enjoy a T-bone steak every now and then. Amen to God. I enjoy the luxuries of life. I enjoy the home that God's given me. And I enjoy the luxuries of that home that God's given me. And I believe that everyone, to some degree, would enjoy being somewhat successful in their life. And may I say that that success and that promotion, my friend, can only come from the hand of Almighty God. And it may shock some of you to know that it is God's will and His desire that you be successful in your life. Your Christian life as well as your secular life. When Joshua was affixing to take that crowd of Jews across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, that land of great promise, that land that flowed with milk and honey. And every child of God ought to want to get there. If you do not have a desire to live a Spirit-filled Christian life, I doubt very seriously that you've ever been saved. I say that honestly. I want to live in the fullness of God's power and to possess the fullness of God's blessing. Yes, sir, I want to dwell in that land where the milk and the honey flow and the grapes of Eskel grow. And my friend, God wants you to be there in your life. God wants you to be successful. He said in Joshua 1:8, when Joshua was preparing to lead Israel across that great river, He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm simply saying, my friend, that the greatest success we can ever hope to have will be found in accordance with how we live a life in the Word of God. Yes, sir. God said, if you want to have a success, He said, and be prosperous in this life, He said, then learn the commandments of God and to walk in those commandments. He's simply saying, be obedient to what the Bible has to say. Now, the problem there is this, that most Baptists don't even know what it says, much less being obedient to what God says in it. You got to know what the Bible says, church, before you can ever be obedient to what it says. Oh, that book is a book that ought to be read, and a book that ought to be believed, and a book that ought to be loved and ought to be cherished. I know to some folks' life, when Brother Jerome mentioned the fact that he sleeps with his Bible in his bosom. Now, somebody said, that's crazy. Well, you can, your own opinion of that. But I'm telling you, I've never in my born days ever seen a man that esteems the Word of God any more highly than what Jerome Val Robards does. Why, that book, my friend, means everything to him. And it ought to you and I. And we'll never be successful in God or otherwise until we learn to walk in obedience to what the Bible's got to say for us. And we'll never be obedient in that Bible until we read that Bible and know what it's got to say. I wonder how many of us really read our Bibles consistently. Now, I'll preach in a minute. I might not. I may just talk to you. I wonder how many of us really read that Bible on a consistent basis. Can I give you more scripture for saying the same thing? What about Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Anything that we do shall prosper, my friend, if we meditate in that Bible and make that Bible the preeminent book of our life. Make it our occupation. And somebody said, preacher, what is your occupation? It is a Bible reader, hallelujah to God. I'm glad I've got a Bible that God's given me. And in that book, my friend, is a complete revelation of God. It is a complete revelation of God's plan for my life. It is a complete revelation, my friend, of salvation. It is a complete revelation of God Almighty, the fallen man, that has the power to pick us up out of sin and to present us faultless before the throne of God's grace. Son, I believe that Bible. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad God's given us a book. Amen. It's not a coloring book or a comic book. It's not a picture book. It is the book. Hallelujah. And it's not a book. It is the book of books that's ever been written. Hallelujah to God. It is the book. Not an A book. The book. I marvel at how folks can read and shun the Bible at the same time. Don't nobody leave me now. Notice our text now. God says that promotion and success comes only from the Lord. He said in verse number 7, for he putteth down one and setteth up another. Don't you ever think you'll climb the ladder of success any other way than from the Lord? It is the Lord's doing. God, church, is a sovereign God that knew the end from the beginning. Amen to God. And knew exactly how you and I fit into that plan that He had designed. You better believe that's right, friend. And God has the power, my friend, to set down one and set up another that he may work things according to his own perfect counsel and will. God ain't asked you what to do or me either. He's working things out according to his own counsel and his own will. Hallelujah to God. And God will do the promoting. He'll set one up and he'll set down another. Somebody said, well, I'm glad the people put George Bush in as president. I'm glad that God put George Bush in as president. Amen. Yeah, amen to God. And you can like it or love it, I believe it is a reprieve that he's given us and a space to repent. And it's my earnest prayer that America will repent of her sin and get right with God. Amen to God. And turn around and turn from their sin that they might serve a holy God. And friend, otherwise, it's judgment in America. And if judgment must begin in the house of God, then where does the sinner and the ungodly man stand, huh? You better believe that's right. Praise God, I'm going to enjoy preaching tonight, I believe. Take my time and preach a little while. That's right. God sets up one and sets down another. And by the way, God sets up preachers and sets one up and sets another down. God calls whom he wills to the ministry. I didn't volunteer to preach, I was drafted. And I'm not a draft dodger. No, I answered the call that God gave. And I'm honest with you, if I could do anything else, I'd be a-doing it. But I'd be like a lost ball in high weed, son. I'd be like a fish out of water trying to do anything else. I walked through that mall up there on Friday night. I told Miss Hall, I said, my God, I couldn't work in a place like this. Son, I'd rather go out and die of starvation than to have to wrestle with a bunch of freaks like was in that place. Rubbing shoulders with that kind of people, man, I don't believe I could live that way. Amen. I'm glad God called me to preach. Hallelujah to God. Amen. God sets up one, and God sets down another. Promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge of all the earth, and he sets up one and puts down another one. Amen. God's got a cup of promotion, son, that we're going to have to drink. If we want that. Now, I found three illustrations, I think, of this promotion from God in the Word of God. And I ain't got to my message yet. It's a long time off. I guarantee we're in the introduction. It's a long one, too. Huh? But I found three illustrations. I thought, first of all, about a man by the name of David. That the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8, God said, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler of my people over Israel. David was just a little old ruddy-faced boy that God found out yonder in the sheepcote. He was an absolute nobody. But get what God said about him. He said, I found you when you were following my sheep, and I promoted you to the possession of being the leader of my sheep. I'm going to tell you, you'll never be a leader, my friend, and never expect promotion from God until you learn to follow God and follow somebody else. You'll be useless in the service of Almighty God. Amen. We got a lot of folks today that want to be leaders and they never learned to be a follower. You know, when God called Elisha in the room of Elijah, he found a man already plowing, my friend, with 12 yoke of oxen and was willing to be doing the work of God. And he took that man out of the harness of oxen and put him in the harness of preaching the Word of God. And son, if you want to be promoted in God's business, you better learn to follow, or you'll never lead until you first learn to follow somebody. So I know some of these whistle britches, boys, run around all over the country, ain't never been called to preach. They're as rebellious as the devil. They've got a rebellious streak up their back, son. And they, just like he said here in verse number 4, and he said to the wicked, lift not up your horn. In verse 5, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. I've had to swallow some of them boys. I've seen them stand, son, and rant and rave, carry on and preach, and I thought they was a preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you, and some of them have failed. I ain't ever put an ounce of confidence in them, and I tell you why. They never learned to follow. They're stiff-hearted and stiff-necked, friend. They've never learned to follow God, and they've never learned to follow the man of God. And until you learn to follow the shepherd that God's given over you, you'll never be a leader for God. I don't care how much knowledge you got. Huh? God ain't going to promote stiff-necked, rebellious-spirited individuals in His service or otherwise. Amen to God. Now, you're going to find something here in a minute. Now, listen to me. Before we get down there, I'm not talking about that crowd out there. You're going to find that that crowd, the dregs are reserved for them. We're drinking the mixture. They in a league all their own, the wicked are. They're the dregs that's in the bottom of the cup is reserved for them, friend. And they'll wring them out and drink them. I mean, they'll get the bitterest. They'll get the bitterest drink that's in the cup. Mark that down. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm not talking about the rich and the prosperous and that crowd. I'm talking about the people of God. No. God promoted old David from following the sheep. Made him ruler over Israel. Then I thought about Joseph. Just a little old ruddy-faced boy, Jacob. And sold into slavery. But learned to shun sin and learned to love God and have an understanding about God and become an interpreter of dreams down in that dungeon, in that prison. And eventually, my friend, God promoted him. Somebody said, oh, it was Pharaoh. Pharaoh, my foot. Amen. Son, God sent him down into Egypt. And God sent him there that he might preserve many people alive. I'm going to tell you, that is a fact that the way down, my friend, or the way up is down. You're never going up with God as long as you're trying to exalt yourself. If you want up with God, then learn to go down. Little old Joseph went all the way to the prison house, friend, and was accused by that heifer of committing adultery, but he wound up second ruler in the kingdom, and God promoted him to that. I want to give you the verse. Genesis 41:41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah to God. Little old Jewish boy, ruling over all the land of that Gentile crowd down there. Of course, we know he's a type of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, he lived that life. Sometimes we look at the types and forget that folks actually lived those lives. Oh, he was a type of Christ as ruler over all the Gentile church, which you and I are of, is the true meaning interpretation of that verse. But I'm here to tell you that Joseph really lived, and Joseph was really a ruler over Egypt, and God is the one that promoted him to that position. Now, I think about Daniel. The old Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and all of his magicians and astrologers couldn't figure out the dream. And finally they called Daniel, and he interpreted that great dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And the king made Daniel a great man. Hallelujah to God. And gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Daniel was just a little old Jewish boy down in a Gentile world in captivity, but God showed favor and grace to him, friend, and God promoted him to ruler over that crowd down in Babylon. God, if you can get a hold of that. Promotion does not come from the east, nor the west, nor the south. For God puts up one and God sets down another. And don't you become discouraged in where you are in your service to God. God knows right exactly where you are and what He's doing with you. And God can place you anywhere, anytime God gets ready to change direction in your life. He's got the power to do that. You better believe that's right. Then if I could take you back to where I was living when God called me. What God has done, I marvel at the grace of God. Hallelujah, Brother Wayne. I wish I had time. Son, I didn't know much about God, but I wanted to serve Him. Didn't have much of this world's wealth, and had very little, to be honest. But oh, my friend, God said, I'm going to take Truman Hall's little old barefoot boy off the hills of Indiana. I'm gonna make him a pastor of a church down yonder in Kentucky by the grace of God. And I marvel, has it occurred to you that while I'm standing here preaching to you tonight, that the voice of your pastor has the potential of going around the world in almost every home in the world? I'm telling you, I give God the glory, my friend, for God sets down one and puts up another. Bless His name, my friend, for the promotion that God gives. And I said, we ain't got a very big church. Is that right? I don't know how many we got. I counted tonight, there's 58. But I don't know how many's out yonder. Are you listening? I don't think some of y'all got the slightest idea of what God's done in this ministry. Huh? How He has stirred and blessed and set us up and given us a voice around the world. And we take it as a grain of salt. My, what a blessing from God. Maybe even while I'm preaching right now, old Brother O'Brien sitting all the way over in the Ukraine is listening to me preach. Maybe Brother Proctor in Mexico or some other individual in a faraway land is listening. I have no earthly idea that when we was here in our youth meeting, but the folks from down in Conyers, Georgia was listening to Brother Wells preach behind this pulpit all the way in Conyers, Georgia. I'm telling you, friend, God sets up, puts down one and sets up another. And God's given us that great outreach and that ministry. And we better take pride in it and realize that God has opened the door and set us up in that position and granted us a glorious opportunity of preaching the gospel around the world. Hallelujah. We have and we are fulfilling the great commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And we're doing it from right here behind this microphone tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, why didn't He give it to somebody else? I don't know. We'll ask Him when we get to heaven. He'd let a bunch of hicks do it. Amen. A bunch of barefoot Kentuckians. That's a lot of the big town, big city folks up yonder in New York City, New York. Or smog-filled Los Angeles, California. They think we're still using an outhouse and using candles rather than electricity. And some of us may be, but hallelujah to God, right here in this little crowd, He has promoted us, my friend, to the position of carrying the Word of God to a lost and dying world. He has promoted us and set us up in doing that. Bless His wonderful name. I'm glad I'm a part of it. Now, stay with me. You hear my watch, Brother Billy? I better get it off. He said, you're going to break the mainspring in that every time you... He said, every time I sling my hand in here, that watch goes... Roop, roop. Self-winding, you know. Now, stay with me. There is four places that God says here that promotion does not come from. In this text, He said, first of all, that there's no promotion in self. For He said in verse number 5, lift not up your horn on high. Oh, you cannot promote yourself. No, sir. It will not work that way. Oh, these Baptist preachers all over the country, especially the Southern Baptists, and I'm not being critical, or my guess I am being critical, but I'm not doing it in a mean way. But I'm going to tell you what their idea of success is. If they can preach a little and do good and be a good mingler in the church they're in, that the convention by and by will promote them to a little bit bigger church. And their ambition and their heart's desire is to pastor the biggest church in the country. So my ambition and my desire is to pastor where God's called me to pastor, hallelujah, and preach what God gives me to preach to the people of God. I'm going to tell you that, hey, you can't promote yourself. Not in God's family. Not in God's work. People want to sing. And they'll try to put on the dog to promote themselves. I've seen singing groups go to pot good singing groups because they try to put on the dog and be something they ain't. That's what I liked about them little old ladies that sung over at Brother Milby's. They had on separate time, old little old plaid dresses. They didn't come in a Greyhound bus. And they didn't walk out and suck a cigarette when they got done either. They just walked up and sang. Huh? A lot of these folks trying to promote themselves. It will not work. I've got to hurry on. I want to say the second thing. He said, promotion cometh not neither from the east. Now buckle her down a little bit. That word east means the rising of the sun. Now don't leave me. I believe what Asaph is saying here, what God is saying, that promotion does not come from our youthful ambitions. He's talking about the sun rising, our early years of life, when we're just young and we really think we're wise, but as the old saying, we are young and dumb, friend. Most teenagers I know, and I love you, you're dumber than a box of rocks. You ain't got an ounce of sense about you, friend. You think that you've conquered the world? No. Amen to God. And you've set out in your ambitions and you're going to be somebody because you're young and strong and you're going to make something out of yourself. I want to tell you something right now. My friend, you might as well mark her down. There's coming a day when your youth will disappear and gray hairs will set in and your step will slow down and you'll get old if you live that long. Amen. A lot of these young bucks are going to conquer the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. What are you going to do in life? I'm so sick of hearing it. These secular schools, well, what are you going to do in life? They're not going to do nothing in life unless God lets them do something in life. I've seen a lot of them set out to conquer the world, buddy. Huh? Promotion doesn't come from your youthful ambition. I know some of you teenagers in here has got something. I love you. Some of you want to be this, and you're going to be that, and you're pursuing that. I mean, friend, just like a hawk pursues a mouse out in the field. You're going after it. Now, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to wind up hitting rock bottom someday. I want to say this to you, that if you have sat under the Word of God and sat under preaching and you know your right hand from your left hand and know right from wrong, God will not allow you, my friend, to go too far and make a fool out of yourself. Amen. He'll bring your butt into check, buddy. Are you listening to me? Oh, it doesn't come from the east. When I'm young and strong and ambitious, I'll grab an education, man. I'll conquer the world, man. I'll be my own man, man. No. No. I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I'm going to tell you what you young people in here better do. You better remember God now. Well, I'm going to tell you what the idea is. I'm going to live while I'm young and give God the leftovers. God is not interested in your old decrepit leftover body. Wear your body out, my friend, on sin and wickedness, and then want to give God the crumbs and the remains. God doesn't want your crumbs. God wants the best you've got. Would to God I'm like old Mae Jackson. I would to God, son, that I'd have got saved when I was 6 months old and kicked the slats out of the baby bed, rolled out, left God on the floor, and preached for about an hour and a half on the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah! Do something for God while you're young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I wish I could have started younger. I'll soon be 55 years old, and I've given God the meat of my life. From the time in preaching, really in 1979 to now, about 22 years, about 32 years old when I started trying to preach, and I've just about wore my body out trying to tell people about God. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'd gladly spend and be spent. Yes, sir. That God's hand might be upon me and God's blessings might be with me and God's joy might be in me. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir, I'd gladly give my body to be burned if it'd help the cause of Christ. And yet we've got young people, my friend, that draw up in their shell and have very little to do with God. Some of you young kids in here can't even get you in here into some of the youth meetings and one thing. God help you! I love you, but God help you! You're cold in your heart, and God's not interested in your crumbs. God wants you now, friend! Don't you get the idea you're going to live your life now and give God your life when you get down the road. And by the way, while I'm married, I don't give you a flip of used booger for bed, deathbed conversion. They're looking for a fire escape. There ain't many of them. I know of one. The only thing I know about him, his name was Thief. That's all I know about him. But he got in. Huh? But there ain't too many of them. I want to say youthful ambitions. God said promotion doesn't come from self nor youthful ambition. Notice the next thing. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west. Doesn't come from the east or the west. Now if the east is our youthful ambitions, then the setting of the sun, my friend, must refer to the prosperity of our old age. Do you know what folks are trying to do? Man, we're trying to lay up. I get tired of preachers telling me, what have you done to prepare for retirement? I say, the same thing I've been doing for 22 years, trust in God for my retirement. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, folks have gotten the idea that in their old age, God will promote them in the prosperity of their old age. Do you realize that some people believe in 1 John chapter number 2, when John talks about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that a lot of people believe that he's referring to three different ages of life, young, middle, and old, and that pride of life, when we get proud and we don't seem to have what the Joneses have. And we're looking for promotion to have what the Joneses have. I didn't build that house to have what Jones has got. I can give flip what Jones got. We can sell that house tomorrow. But I will say it saved the church several thousand dollars since it's been over there. Of which I doubt that some really care or know or care if they do know. But has. Several thousand dollars. Say amen right there. But I'm not looking for that. For promotion. I'm not looking to that for retirement. God help if God remembered me in my youth, sure to goodness God would take care of me in my old age. Yes, sir, He will, Brother Andy. Somebody said, well, you can't never tell. He may let me preach here in a wheelchair just to spite some of you. Why, the old codger, I wish you'd retire. Better watch your mouth, buddy. God may keep me around a long time. Amen. Be a thorn in somebody's flesh around here. Hallelujah to God, sir. I'm not worried about getting old. I'm more concerned about serving God. Hallelujah. What God's got to say about it. Listen what this psalmist said, and I wish I had time to read the whole psalm. I really do. But listen to this. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. I'm reading out of the King James Bible. Their inward thought, here's the verse. Their inward thought is their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names. You ever been in Texas and seen them down there? So-and-so's ranch, so-and-so's ranch. Some they like to call that land after their own name. Ain't that right? Go up there and look what I call my land. Grace Boulevard! Hallelujah to God. Thank God for grace. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen. I'm not worried about calling nothing after my name. I started to name that first fellowship hall back there after a man that used to be in this ministry. I was going to build a plaque and put right. I've been in churches and they've got shovels with names written on them and big plaques with thank God for this committee and that committee and got men's name up over them and all this and that. I started to put that man's name up and name it that so-and-so fellowship hall. And God said, if you do, I'll depart from that place. We're not promoting men. If God wants somebody promoted, let God do the promoting. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't go around patting everybody on the back for everything they do around here. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. When you've done all that you can do, look in the face of Jesus and say, I am an unprofitable servant. Come on now. Now look here, he said, neither does it come from the south. Now that's kind of a hard one, but I'm going to deal with it a little bit. The south. I thought of what's in the south. Deserts in the south. But I thought really what I believe he's trying to say is like old brother Paul, when they was out in that storm and was headed to Rome, and Paul told that captain of that ship, said, sir, If we leave here, I fear that much harm and damage is going to be done not only to the ship, but to the people as well. And that man believed, that captain believed others more than he did the man of God. And the Bible said, but when the south wind blew softly, they supposed that they had accomplished their purpose. And they departed. But not long after that, a tempestuous storm arose named Euroclydon. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Folks is looking for promotion on the easy street. Well, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket. I hope we ain't got no lottery ticket players in here. God, help. Oh, I'll strike it rich in the lottery. I'm not kidding you a bit, son. When I preached for Brother Aubrey Brown, I was filling up with gas on Saturday morning. The guy said, where are you from, man? I said, Kentucky. He said, woo! I looked at the guy and he said, you know what? He said, you remember how big the lottery was up there? I said, I don't look at the lottery, don't play the lottery, and a man's an absolute fool that does. He said, well, he said, I drove all the way from Alabama to Kentucky just to buy a lottery ticket. He said, man, I want to just hit it big one time. I'm going to hit it big one time. You know what they're talking, you know what they're saying? That I want promotion without it costing me anything. I want to get her the easy way, the lazy way. I want to climb the ladder of success without ever costing me a thing, my friend. And I'm telling you, you'll not get there without it costing you something somewhere down the line. I want it easy. Lazy. I'm going to tell you what Harold Sotler said about a lazy man. Said he'd have to die and go to hell, and I believe it. I'm going to tell you, laziness is killing us. Oh, I had a rough day today, sweetheart. What'd you do? I sent out 1,700 emails. Come on in the house. I won't charge you a thing for that. But I'm telling you, we've raised a generation that know nothing about manual labor and work. And they're trying to get there by chance in a life of laziness, and it won't work. I'm going to tell you what burns me, and I can throw this out, and I hope some of them's listening. This crowd that's a drawing food stamps and SSI, these lazy bunch of heifers that's a drawing SSI. Now, I understand some folks getting a pay, but I'm talking about this crowd, friends. A man that will not work. They're shacked up. Already got 8 or 10 kids and another one on the way looking for another welfare check. And then fuss and raise sand because that it's not enough to take care of them. Let the egg suckers go get a job and go to work. They're looking for success, my friend, in a bed of ease and a life of rally, and there is no such thing. Young kids in here, learn to work. And work hard. Amen to God. Amen. That's right. Now I want you to notice something, and I'm just about done. In the text, where our promotion comes from. He said in verse 6, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is a judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in his hand there's a cup. And the wine is red, and it's got the right kind of mixture in it. But he said the wicked will have to wring out the dregs and drink from the dregs." There's a cup. And I believe what he's saying here is that promotion is of the Lord, but it comes from the cup. Have you drank the cup? Are you looking for God to bless you? Do you want God's blessings on you? Then get to the cup. For in his hand, there's a cup. Cup's in his hand. Huh? God's people, listen now, God's people drank the mixture, and the wicked drank the dregs. And it's the mixture that gives us a promotion. A cup in the Bible is simply just something that holds something all together. Something that just contains something and holds something all together. Like a cup of that glass, that cup, it's got all that water in it, holding it right in one perfect place. That's what he's talking about, a cup. That just that cup. And I say three things and I'm done. Promotion comes from the cup of God's salvation. Hallelujah. I know that's right, Brother Doug. Listen carefully. Psalm 116:13, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." I'm going to prove to you that it does. That cup of salvation lifts us from our poverty to riches. What are you going to do about Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel chapter number 9? When David said, "Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may bless for Jonathan's sake?" And that servant said, "Yeah, there's one, a paraplegic down in the land of Lodibar, where there's no bread, down there sleeping on a little old feather tick. He doesn't have any money. He has absolutely no riches, no wealth. And he's absolutely worthless." And David said, "That's the man I want." Woo! Aren't you glad that the poor gladly heard him? Ain't that right? Just old drunk, spent every dime we had, didn't have a pot to urinate in, nowhere to throw it, and I mean not a two nickels to rub together. Come on now. There's a little old crippled boy down in Lodibar. I said that, didn't I? Down in Lodibar. Living in poverty. But some now come a day when the king's chariot rode up in front of where was a lemon, hallelujah to God. And with tender hands of that servant lifted him out of that poverty, my friend, and set him in the king's chariot. Turned that chariot around and headed to the palace. There's your promotion. When God saved somebody, said, "I ain't seen my riches yet. Just hang around, we ain't got the inheritance yet. But our trains are coming in any day now." That's right, son. We've got a mansion. Going to a place where the street's made of pure gold. Hallelujah. Somebody said that's a dream. No, it's a reality. I'm telling you, even the wealthiest on this earth, my friend, that's saved by the grace of God, would have to say that their earthly wealth is absolutely nothing compared to the riches of God's grace and glory. He lifts us from poverty to riches like Mephibosheth. I won't say it's a cup of salvation, it's a promotion, because he liberates us from the sin of bondage. Do you think that the maniac of Gadara wasn't promoted when he was out in them tombs, just an old wild man, cutting himself with them stones and no man could tame him? I mean wild. Wild, son. And they heard him screaming at night. Ah! All them old blood-curdling screams are coming out of that graveyard. But son, one day Jesus said, "Well, let's get in the ship. Got to go to the other side. So there's a maniac over there." Now, he didn't tell them that, but he knew it. Somebody said, "I don't believe he knew it." I'd like to introduce you to Christ. You need to get saved. He knew the end, end and from the beginning, son. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. You can like it, lump it, hump it, bump it, dump it, do whatever you want to do. But the maniac got saved by the grace of God. Jesus got back in the ship and went back to the other side. That other crowd said, hey, get away. Hey! They didn't want to hear what he had. But I'm going to tell you, that maniac was a wild man. But son, after he met the Master, God liberated him. When that crowd come out, they found him sitting there at Jesus' feet, clothed. And in his right mind. I'd say that was a good promotion. You know where he slept that night? He slept in his own bed with his wife. Amen to God. Now, I'm not going to get too messed up here. One fellow was a-preaching. And a while back, talked about the Ethiopian eunuch. Said that eunuch got saved and went back down to Ethiopia and led his wife and children to the Lord. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that's a good one. You all catch that after a while. Great miracle. Eunuchs bear no children, folks. But can you imagine that old maniac, son? You think that wasn't promotion? Sleeping in a cemetery? Wild. Can't be tamed, his mind deranged, mentally deranged, possessed with a legion of devils. And son, just at the utterance of the word of Christ, he's promoted from the cemetery back to his own home, son, and sleeping in a warm bed at night. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Somebody said, preacher, I wouldn't like that. You may not have been. But you're looking at a man, I'm not proud of it. I woke up more than once along the roadside back into an old automobile friend freezing half to death and didn't know where I was at or where I'd been. But thank God after I met the Master, son, I was able by the grace of God to wake up in my own bed, hallelujah to God, with my own family, bless your heart. That's a promotion in life for me. And it didn't come from the east or the west or the south. It come from God Almighty. And he put down sin and lift it up, grace, hallelujah. I just got that one. I don't know whether you'd like it or not. Amen. I'll tell you something else it does. Cup of salvation lightens the load that we carry. The Bible said about old blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter number 10 was sitting by the wayside begging. Then he heard Jesus passing by and cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to silence him, but the more they silenced him, the louder he cried. The Bible said that finally those disciples said, arise. Said, the Master calleth thee. Get this now. And he casting away his garments. Hallelujah. Those old garments that had him laden with all that load that he was carrying, all the load of his sin and ungodliness, had that old blind man all burdened over with under the load of guilt and under the load of sin, sitting by the wayside begging. Jesus said, what would you have me to do? And old Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And son, his sight was given. I'm telling you, that was a promotion for that man to come out of blindness into light, the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. May God help us tonight. May the Holy Ghost work in our hearts to realize that God's cup of salvation will promote us from poverty to riches and lighten our load and liberate us from sin. Hallelujah. I want to say secondly, a cup of salvation, but there's also a cup of suffering. And I don't believe that we'll ever get too far without suffering to some degree. No, not much promotion without it. We see it in the life of Jesus. For in Hebrews 12:2, he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. Can you get a hold of that? Now look here. I never got a hold of that till today. But I always thought that that joy, I never been able to get a hold of it entirely, but the Bible said it was set before him. Great joy.
There's great joy in that fountain of life. And God has set it before you. Come on in the house, children. But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the shame of the cross, the suffering, the agony of the cross, despising it. But it was all for that joy that was set before Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God Almighty has set real joy in front of some of you in here tonight. It's lost as a goose in high weeds, buddy. God set real joy. But you're not willing to pay the price of suffering to have that joy. You're not willing to pay the price to jump like I jump and shout like I shout and carry on like I... You're not willing to pay it. You're not willing to pay it. Some of you have absolutely no joy whatsoever. I'm telling you, the salvation that I've got when God lifted me out and showed me where He brought me from and told me that there was joy unspeakable and full of glory, and He set it before me if I wanted it. But I'm going to say the road to it has cost something. And it'll cost you something, friend, to drink from that cup. Amen to God. Are you listening? I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I didn't think I was going to get through the message tonight. My throat was hurting me so bad. But see what God can do for you? Hallelujah. I know some of you don't like that. I don't like a lot of things you do either, Buckwheat. Amen. That cup of suffering. But you know, I find that place that's closer home than that. In Matthew 20, verses 20 through 23, the mother of James and John come to Jesus and desired something. Jesus said, "What is it?" She said, "That my son may set the one on the right hand, the other on the left when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said this, listen now. Jesus said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink from? And to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said, "We are able." You know what that cup is talking about, sons? That cross, that suffering, that shame. Oh, yes, sir, there is a cup of suffering. If you want to be... And look here. And I don't understand it all, but old Paul was a man that had many revelations. God gave him a thorn in the flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. But that thorn in the flesh turned out to be a blessing of Christ, that in the affliction of his sufferings, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. And in fact, that was more of a promotion than what the revelations were. That's what God's saying. God's saying it is a greater promotion to have the power of Christ resting upon you than it is, Paul, to have all these revelations. That's why I don't put much faith in these Pentecostals that see visions and dreams. And most of them went to bed before they need some sauerkraut or weenies or something, some went pizza before they went to bed and had bad indigestion. I seen a whole lot of Jesus this morning, son, right there in them bushy locks. And I didn't have no dream to see it. I got it out of that book. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Amen. Praise God, I feel like a preacher tonight. Huh? Then I want to close with this. In the same scripture I was using, I believe there's another cup, and it's called a cup of servitude. And I think here's where so many people fail. Jesus told James and John, He said, Jesus called them unto Him. And there was a little riff there about who was going to be greatest. Jesus called them unto Him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many." I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you want promotion, learn to be a servant. Until you learn to be a servant, you can forget promotion from God.
Right.
Learn to sweep the floors, clean the bathroom,
right,
and to serve others. And that takes a little tad bit of humility to buckle under and put yourself under the yoke of others and be their servant.
Right.
But you will never be promoted by God until you learn that and become a servant. I think Brother Billy and him said they told Brother Sonson, I'm sure Brother Randy was a Johnson or something when he said something about, you told him that the men were going to serve the women?
I ain't serving no woman.
I've got news for him. If he eats up here on that night, he'll serve the women.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'd be the pastor around him.
Amen.
I'm just joshing, but that's the point I'm trying to make. See, we got to learn to serve.
Amen.
To be promoted. Do you know what was Martha's problem? She was a servant. Mary sat at his feet. Do you know why Martha never got there? Because she never learned the humility of her servitude.
Right.
She always wanted somebody, always wanted Jesus, get somebody to help me. I'm doing all of it by myself. Why do I have to do this by myself?
Right. Yeah.
Servitude, salvation, and suffering. Three cups that God uses to promote. Not from the east, nor the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He setteth up one and putteth down another. Let's stand together.